Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 116, and I am your stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan. With me is the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hi.
We have King Baby Duck Evan of the Boston Bastard Brigade / Wicked Anime.
Konnichiwa.
And we have our super fan, Gerardo, Wicked fan Gerardo from all the way in California. How are you doing, Gerardo?
I'm baking.
Yeah, We don't pay anybody on this podcast, and we certainly don't pay our guests, but we are paying Gerardo in water.
Yeah, we're sending it through the mail.
We desperately need it.
So you said you're baking. What are you baking? Brownies? Cookies?
Balls? Human flesh.
How hot is it over there?
Currently mid 90s. It feels hotter, though, because, you know, it's California.
Yeah.
Woo! Nice, because yeah, we're like...
Man, it's only getting worse from here.
I know, we're sitting...
Good
we're
to know, I might be going out there in August.
Really?
What are you doing? Yeah, I might be going out to LA for... Just for a vacation.
Oh.
I haven't had a real one in almost a decade, dude.
Yeah, bring some bottles of water to Gerardo.
Yeah. Yeah. Evan's going to show up. I've come to save everybody!
Yeah.
Bottles of water for everybody! And lobsters...
That's so mean. So
this episode we are going to be discussing a fan requested topic. This came from Temsu, and he asked us, what anime shows do we always continue to go back to even though we may fundamentally know that they're really bad, or you know that you don't want to be watching it, but you just can't help but go back and watch it?
Yeah, and we also have Gerardo on the show today because he's able to do exciting California things that we're not able to do over here on the east side.
Yeah.
And he went to E3.
He did. He went to E3. So we're going to talk about that after we discuss a couple of news topics.
Yes.
So, should we ring the news bell?
Yeah, the news.
There. There we go. Okay. Yay. News.
Almost thought she was dead.
Wake up! Wake up!
It's news time.
Who's got a news piece?
I guess I'll kick it off. I have a media news piece that we should probably discuss, and it is that they've already announced Attack on Titan Season 3 is slated for 2018, which I find to be very interesting, seeing that there was a huge gap in between what happened between Season 1 and Season 2. I mean, we're only getting Season 2 now, and the season finale actually just premiered today, which I haven't watched yet.
Yeah.
But I want to.
I think they're smartening up about saying, hey, you know what? We should probably get Attack on Titan to people faster.
I think the reason why that they were taking a little while is because they wanted to make sure there was enough material from the manga, because they didn't want to go the filler route for it. And with the manga ending, I think by the end of next year, they're going to be able to complete the anime and tell the full story that it wanted to tell.
I don't believe it.
Finish an anime? What are you talking about?
Especially one as monopolized as Attack on Titan.
That's what they did with Assassination Classroom back in 2015, and then they brought it back in 2016 to finish off the entirety of the story.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I thought Assassination Classroom was going to be in for the long haul, to be honest with you. But then again, it's harder to keep on track with those sorts of anime because they have a definitive ending point to them, you know? They declare it in the very beginning of the show that... That it's like, you have until this date, but I'm totally cool with more Attack on Titan. It's been
heck yeah.
It's been baller.
Season 2 has been awesome. Gerardo, have you been watching it?
I have not. I have actually kind of fallen off the bandwagon of Attack on Titan.
Whoa.
There are so many twists this season,
well,
dude.
It's
I gotta be honest with you, Evan. I could have sworn you were just gonna say there were so many tits.
Well, see, it's
dragons don't titans don't have tits.
It's less about twists this season and more about just the worst cliffhangers you can ever imagine.
Yeah,
like
I've heard.
Yeah, every episode ends with just the "I have to see the next episode." Forget it, I'm reading the manga right now.
There's been episodes that have ended in mid frames, like when there was that one episode where Eren was throwing a punch, and then there was another episode where something was falling from the sky. And, like, seconds before it hits the ground, it just says, "To be continued!"
Yeah, it's it's so well done. It's so well organized and storyboarded, and the action is played out so perfectly that every second of Attack on Titan this season has been just amazing.
Yeah, and I think that it's good that it's happening when it did, because if it was any longer, I don't think I would have gone back to it. Because yeah. of things like we had to do while season one happened, and then we sat and stewed for years in the fandom, and that was it.
Oh my gosh, in the fandom is
Gerardo, I think that's probably part of the reason why you haven't had an interest in going back to it is because all you've done is stewed in that. So I understand where you're coming from, but you should watch it. Yeah. Like,
I've definitely stayed a consistent Attack on Titan fan. I really do love it. I really love Attack on Titan and all it has to offer. I think some of the fans like to hype it up a little bit more than it actually is, because it is a good show, but it has, you know, its great following that is just insane because of anime fans.
Says
that
I just bought and a the PS.
Well, and that's what I was just about to say. I was like, I walked into GameStop, and apparently GameStop has their own exclusive pops, which I didn't really know. And Sasha is my favorite character, and GameStop exclusively has a Sasha Funko Pop, so I had to buy it. So now I have a Sasha Funko Pop, and she's holding like a little potato.
You know what's funny about that too is that they actually have GameStop exclusive Funko figurines, and before they were GameStop, they were Funko Land.
That's true.
That is true. I forgot about that.
What do you know?
I used to buy all my old Sega Genesis games from Funko Land.
Yeah, we bought our Sega Genesis games
from Funko Land. Funko Land was amazing.
Yeah.
And they had every game, like every game ever made. And then it turned to GameStop, and we're like, we don't have every game ever made now.
We just have the new ones. Do you want Call of Duty? Would you like to masturbate on this disc of Call of Duty as well?
And that's why I don't buy used games.
Yeah. No?
This Call of Duty is sticky. Battlefield
turn you on?
Ew.
Oh.
GameStop.
I will say, though, that the Attack on Titan video game for PS4 is amazing.
Is it really?
They did a great job with it. They did a great job with that video game. It's the Dynasty Warriors engine.
Yeah, Musou.
It's the Musou engine. But it looks and feels exactly how an Attack on Titan video game should be. Not to mention the actual mechanics of it. It kind of makes it feel like you're playing a Spider-Man video game at times.
That's cool. So, and you can play as your favorite characters as well. You have Mikasa and Sasha and Annie and all of them. So I'm good with that. Play as all your favorite waifus.
And no other male characters.
Yeah, play as Armin. Yay.
Yay, that's what everybody's first choice is.
Please don't kill us, please.
See, Armin is the barter, the paladin. You know, he likes to talk.
Yeah.
And he's good at talking.
Although the last episode was pretty awesome.
I know, that's what I mean. He was talking. It was awesome. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You should see it, Gerardo. It's great.
You don't know.
So much talking. Maybe.
So much talking.
Maybe? No, not maybe. Do it.
We demand you do it.
It's like my dinner with Andre, the anime.
Okay, I'll continue if you watch what I gave you.
What was that?
You know what it is.
Little Witch Academia? No. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
On the opposite...
I have to wait till my house is completely empty before...
Oh, no.
On the opposite spectrum of magic anime. I have to wait, there's
nobody here. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. It's... And I'm okay. So here's the lowdown. So Gerardo, do you want me to out you for this?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay.
I read it myself.
Okay, cool. So Gerardo was kind enough, because after Keto suggested that we do a full-on review, a full head-on review of Bible Black, and then we discussed on our show that you can no longer find Bible Black, well, Gerardo was kind enough to share the mystical mystery treasure, which is the very elusive Bible Black, with us, and all of it. All of it.
Yeah, so very kind of
so,
you.
So now we're kind of making our way through Bible Black in less of a let's watch hentai kind of a way, and more of a like a let's watch this as if it's an actual show kind of a way.
Let's be analytically critical about it.
And
let's handcuff ourselves to our chairs, make sure we don't make any really bad movements, and just watch it.
Well,
just wear a chastity belt.
Yeah, and yeah,
duct tape.
Throw the key across the room. And I've started watching it on an analytical level, and it's so bizarre to do that, because I'm just like, man, there's like a lot of demonology in this, and like people getting possessed by demons, and but it doesn't show the demons. It's just like this mystery creature that's in the background, and I was like, this is fascinating. And that was only the first two episodes, and you know, and the fact that like, not to be like explicit, but like people who are possessed with the demon, even like the slightest touch on somebody else, like makes them go crazy. And I'm just like, man, this is
what do you mean?
Yeah, like this is fascinating. So
speaking
so
of things possessed
up...
by demons, right hand, what are you doing? Get that way from there.
So like watching it watching Bible Black on an analytical level is such an interesting adventure, because you have to watch it, you know, while keeping your pants on, I guess. So like, and
it's
like
a really cruel game.
Well, and instead of just like skipping the story and going to the sex scenes, you're like skipping the sex scenes and just going to the story.
Yeah,
it's like it's totally opposite, and it's great, and it's filled with great waifus. Not really, but I mean, it's filled with
no. I think it's well, like it's trash.
Well, I mean, we've already discussed this, and like, if you go to My Wife Who's Not Weird, everybody's begging us to do an 18+ My Wife Who's Not Weird. But we discuss in the original My Wife Who's Not Weird that hentai characters can't be waifus, because they're really just there to be like, you know, nonsensical cute things that you stare at, and not actual developed characters.
They don't have personality or anything like that.
But right. Bible Black right. is making... Because Bible Black is a continuation of a series and actually has a story that it follows, it is possible that it could slip into that. Like, seeing that Imari is actually an existing character. The other side characters aren't really, but Imari is, and so is, like, that other chick. But and the teacher who is, like, the anti-magic teacher. It's weird. So, see, Gerardo, I hope you're happy. I'm proving to you right now that I am actually watching it.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I haven't started yet.
There was like a little impromptu preview of what is to come for Bible Black analysis. So now you have to watch Attack on Titan, Gerardo. Ha! Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, that's what we were talking about. Yeah. What were we talking about?
Well, I think that ended the Attack on Titan discussion. So season 3, 2018, we're all very excited.
Yeah. Puts a screeching halt.
Evan, what do you got? Because I want to save Gerardo's for last, because he has like a lot of gaming news, I think.
Okay. So, have you ever wanted to exercise, bathe, or fall asleep with a cute anime girl? No? Well, tough titties, because Made in Japan is bringing over sleeping, bathing, and training with Hinako, the infamous anime OVA series.
I forgot you sent that to us. Gerardo, did you hear about this?
No.
Or even know what it is?
Elaborate.
Okay, so if anybody remembers our elusive review and critical analysis of another great anime series called Anime de Training.
Yeah. Exercise.
Which we actually did on my show.
Was that on your show?
Yeah, it was on my show.
You're right. It was. Great time talking about that. I mean, that even probably fits into
it's just the, lolly today's filth. It's lolly filth.
Yeah, today's yeah. topic today. It's literally short animes of little anime episodes of girls working out, and that was Anime to Training. But this whole Hinako series, who Hinako is one of the girls in Anime to Training X.
No, actually, no, she isn't.
She's not.
It's actually a totally different series. I looked it up. Two completely different separate companies, two totally completely different writers, two totally completely different characters.
Evan, you just shattered my universe. But anyway, it's along the same premise, and the main character looks almost exactly like Hinako.
No, not almost. It is Hinako. Who are we kidding here? It is her. I refuse to believe Evan's throne of lies that he sits upon.
I made sure that it was or wasn't before I posted the article about it, because initially I thought Animated Training was a spinoff of Sleeping, Training, and Bathing with Hinako, and it turns out it's not.
That's fascinating. So
in fact, even if when you look up on Wikipedia and on the Anime News Network's anime websites, they don't link to one another.
Interesting. I've actually known what these Hinako animes have been for a very long time. I think Peter Payne sells them on J-List in the Japanese version, if I'm not mistaken. But I've seen it around. I've obviously never seen it myself. It looks, you know, weird and strange, like, as far as a concept goes. But if Made in Japan is actually willing to bring it over and actually format it over here, that's really wild, and maybe consider checking out just for the experience of what the heck is it, you know?
Well, all three episodes are going to be on one DVD, so
are they really?
They're going to be spending a lot less than the Japanese probably did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, this was on the top of the Amazon Japan list for 2 whole weeks. Out of everything, it was the best-selling thing ever for 2 weeks.
Okay.
On Amazon Japan.
So, with that, though, how long is each OVA?
Hold on, I can actually get that for you.
How long can you watch Hinako sleep
how
for?
How long do you watch her sleep for? That's exactly what I... Is it like an 8-hour anime?
Yeah. Does she get a full night's sleep?
She gets a full 8 hours. Actually, no, it's a Saturday, so she gets like 10 or 9 or 10. It's just like, oh, man.
I don't understand how it's...
Oh, wait, they go to school on Saturday.
All right. So, let's see. Training with Hinako is 10 minutes long. Sleeping with Hinako is 40 minutes long.
Jeez.
40 minutes?
And bathing with Hinako...
3 hours.
Hinako and Kyoko...
Yes.
Are you kidding
me?
No,
I knew that. I knew that.
Is... Actually, it doesn't give you a time. I think no one knows how long
ends.
That is.
Yeah, it's endless. It's still going. It's endless.
Because here's the thing about these anime, too, is that it's done... in a way where you can watch it at multiple angles. Like, you can switch between angles as you're watching it.
You can?
That's
yeah.
Fascinating, kind of. It reminds me, remember that old SNL sketch about the shake weights, where they were like, you can now buy the shake weight
commercial
on DVD.
It plays 3 times, then black.
Then static.
No, then static.
Nothing.
Then nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think about when I think of these DVDs. But are you kidding me? Like, I feel like that this should just be hentai. Like,
it kind of... I'm pretty sure people do treat it as hentai.
I imagine so, but I mean, it's just weird. Like somebody hit this market. Somebody thought of this idea and knew exactly what they were doing when they created it. And it baffles me beyond reason that it works, you know, like that is like, hey, do you want to see a cute anime girl sleep for 40 minutes straight? And I would say that the collective answer would be no.
Well, what if you don't actually watch it? And it's like one of those ambient noise filters that you put in your room while you're trying to sleep. And like, you just leave it on your TV while she sleeps. So she's sleeping on your TV, you're trying to go to sleep on in your bed, and then you just kind of go to sleep.
Oh, but
you know what? That actually reminds me, because with the video game, the 3DS game Hatsune Miku Project Mirai Deluxe, you can set up an alarm to wake you up, and when you set it up, it's a screen where you just see Miku asleep in bed.
Really?
And it plays all through that until it's time to wake up, so.
That is cute.
I would love to see that it would be a failed science, though, for the Hinako OVAs, because it's like, oh, it's only 40 minutes long, and then followed by the episode of Hinako tries to turn off her car alarm.
Hinako's not old enough to drive. Gomena Sayone-chan!
Well, the thing, too, is the premise of Hinako is that she's an actual girl that is turned into an anime character. So she's, like, very self-aware throughout the entire OVA series. This is what the whole press release said, by the way.
So then what... Then in what normal human person... If she's from the aspect of a normal human person, it's like, hey, do you want to watch me sleep? Says nobody ever.
Except a serial killer.
Yeah. But then again, the serial killer probably doesn't make his presence known.
No, he could say, do you want to watch me sleep while you're tied in his chair?
Oh, yeah, I suppose so.
Do you want to watch me sleep?
Damn. Watch me sleep. Hater salad.
We talked about that for way too long.
Yeah.
So moving on. Thank you, Evan. That was a really good one. I totally forgot
about
that.
We should probably just watch it sometime and see if it's even legit worth.
Oh, like, I agree. Attention. I agree.
Yeah.
Gerardo.
Yes.
What would you like to talk about?
I watched so much E3 stuff.
Yeah.
I waited so many lines.
Did you?
Okay. Yes. What was the longest line you waited in?
5.5 hours for Wolfenstein 2.
What?
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes.
And
I've already pre-ordered that, by the way, with the action figure.
I saw that pre-order. It looks amazing. I want to get it.
Wow, 5.5 hours. Is it good?
It's good. It's really good. It goes back to, like, the original style of Wolfenstein.
Uh-huh.
Which is great. the gameplay was kind of short. It was, like, 20 minutes.
Okay. That's not so bad.
Yeah, it's not so bad. I guess it's not so bad compared to others. But, yeah, everything looks so great in that nice, crisp, new Xbox One X 4K resolution.
Speaking of which, by the way, has everybody seen the post that's been making its way around line that they called it that the anagram or not anagram?
Yes,
is God. Xbox One X?
Oh yeah,
X B O X. It spells
yeah.
Xbox.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to point that out. That doesn't sway me one way or the other. It's just that no. They did that.
And there's like Xbox, Xbox box. Xbox One, Xbox One box, Xbox One, Xbox, Xbox One, Xbox, Xbox One.
Yeah. Although I did see that the post that I saw that in, somebody had commented, I guess we've gone full 360.
Yeah.
So,
welcome to the internet.
Boo.
Okay, so
dad jokes.
So 5.5 hours for Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein is good.
Well, yes.
What
totally
next?
Worth it. Got to play the new Mario Odyssey. It's fantastic. Plays like a Mario game, like a 3D Mario game should. Again, very nice, clean, looks nice and shiny, like Mario game should. Very colorful.
Good.
I love the fact that you get new hats.
You know what's funny is that I'm a video game purist. Whenever I play, so usually whenever there's like a multiplayer mode where you get to pick a character or anything like that, I usually pick the main character. So in like, say, Mario games, I always play as Mario because it's just like, if you're playing a Mario game, might as well play as Mario. But, and so if I were playing a game where I played as Mario and I got to pick different hats, I would wear Mario's original hat. Like, I am that lame. I am that lame. Yeah.
It's me, Sombrero Mario.
Do you know how peeved I was in Mario 64 when he lost his hat to the monkey? And like
the rabbit?
Oh yeah, it's the rabbit. That like you would jump out of the painting and he wasn't wearing his hat. That as a kid, that like I lost my mind. I was like, I need to get his hat back and I'm gonna kill that rabbit.
That's not Mario. That's not Mario. That's not 22-year-old Mario.
This game lied to me.
The great thing is that a lot of the new costumes that Mario is getting are like revamps of older stuff he used to wear in other games.
Yeah.
So it's still Mario per se. He's used to wear that stuff, just now in HD.
Is there a green Mario suit?
Not that I'm aware of.
Is there Mario in the referee outfit?
Dr. Mario?
But there's one with him in the I have a picture of it somewhere. Let me see if I can find it.
In the One Piece?
One Piece.
In the Speedo?
It's a me, Mario.
Yeah, remember the Speedo Mario? Yeah, yeah, everybody does.
Super Mario.
You mean
European
the Borat?
Beach.
Super Mario Borat?
I'm just gonna look at this.
Yeah. Looks like see. A chef.
I'm gonna make it a pizza pie.
Oh, there really is a Sombrero Mario.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought you were making stuff up, Evan.
No, I wasn't.
I thought you were just being culturally insensitive, but no, he really is.
No.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What else?
Ay, 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 ay. Bowser has kidnapped the peach again.
Okay, so that's I got great. To see Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
Spider-Man looks amazing.
See, yeah. It just looks like Batman. It, well...
It does, but it in its own way.
Yeah, it doesn't look as really good. See, I'm really worried that everything that they showed... Because everything that they showed us from the Spider-Man demo was obviously scripted. Was there actually, like, a playable demo of it?
There was not.
Yeah.
There was someone playing the demo, which was actually pretty much one-to-one the exact same thing that they showed in the trailer. Which
yeah.
Really
pissed yeah.
Me. So I was...
As someone who has gone to E3 many times, except for this year because I was denied press, I can tell you that all playthrough demos by the actual developers are all pre-recorded pieces.
Oh, yeah.
They are never playing.
Oh, no. Absolutely. That's obvious.
Yeah, and that's because they don't want any, like, crashes and stuff. But, like, the thing is I think with Spider-Man... Now, I trust Insomniac, like, wholeheartedly, because they make amazing games. But mm-hmm. I'm really worried, because basically the demo that they showed us, they are saying, you know, oh, it's going to be open world, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. But everything that they did in the demo was so specific, including, like, the city destruction. Like, they destroyed the city and, like, went through buildings and all that junk. And when they smashed through the sign and Spider-Man did a little, like, loop-de-loop through the sign, it's just like, so they have to smash a sign specifically at a perfect time so that you can jump through that sign. It's like, no. Unless they're making the best video game on the face of the planet, there's no way a game can be scripted like that. We have, like, another 5 to 10 years before video games can be scripted like that. As excited as I am, and as cool as it's probably going to be a new Spider-Man game, it's probably not going to be as good as that demo they showed us, because otherwise that would be amazing. Amazing.
But right? You know who wasn't scripted? It was Monster Hunter.
Yes!
Yeah.
So, same thing. They played the demo, but they had like, things they wanted to show, but, you know, Monster Hunter monsters don't tend to cooperate.
Yep.
So, they just kind of have to play it as it goes.
Wow.
That's kind of funny, because, like, I could imagine if they did a live demo on stage showing Monster Hunter worlds, just, like, the monster just roaming away. This sucks, I'm out of here.
Yes.
You know?
See, now... Because I watched, when the trailer came up, we were watching the PlayStation 1 live. I was just, you know, like, laying in my bed, watching it, me and John checking it out. And like, oh, we have a video game that's a cult following, and we're going to show it. And I was like, oh, what could that be? A cult following? Very interesting. And then, like, something came out on the screen that looked vaguely familiar to Monster Hunter. And I was like, no, they're not. And then, like, I saw... like, the character go through, and the sword on his back just gave it away. Like, I saw the great sword with the teeth, and I was just like, this is Monster Hunter. I was like, what is Monster Hunter doing on PlayStation? Like, oh my gosh, like, the fact that they're doing a new Monster Hunter game for all the systems is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. So, like, what more did you find out about it over there, Gerardo?
Okay, so it seems like they're still keeping the same core mechanics
yep.
of Monster Hunter, though they're not bringing it into a full, breathable environment. All the creatures actually have an AI. They all interact with one another in some way or form.
So can, like, the monsters attack one another?
Yes, they can. So the monster, nice. So that what they showed in the demo is the monster that you're hunting, the giant T-Rex that breathes fire. They lured it to the Rathalos nest. So then the Rathalos started attacking it, dealing damage to it. So you can take advantage of that and let the two monsters fight off and weaken the creature that you're hunting.
Huh.
Ooh.
Now, can that turn against you, though, and have the Rathalos come after you?
Yeah, then the Rathalos would come after you, and now you're fighting two monsters.
Yeah, basically, once the monster decides to run away, then the other one's going to turn its head on you.
Right.
Or it could also be like, hey, these monsters actually interact with one another. Now they're going to gang up on you.
Yeah, right. but then they had
Hey, Barry, what is it, Steve? What's happening with these humans here? Oh, they keep on attacking me. Should I help out? Yeah, I guess you should help out.
But they had that cool mechanic that they showed in the trailer as well. That dude launched a flare in the air, and then the other hunters, like, buzzed their way in.
Mm. Okay, so when you're playing single player and you think you're having a little trouble, you can use that flare and it'll automatically let people join your solo player game and turn it into online multiplayer.
Crazy.
Oh, nice. Transaction. Crazy. For a moment there, I thought you were going to say we're going to be AI helpers, but
yeah, me
that's
too.
Better.
Yeah.
It seems like video games are doing that a lot now, and I think the first video game that did that, or at least the game that really made it popular, believe it or not, was Ghost Recon Wildlands. Because I've been playing a lot of Ghost Recon lately, and
well,
not since Tekken came in, but I was playing Ghost Recon, and you can seamlessly just have people jump in and out of your game and have it not affect your game at all. And so you'll be playing single player, somebody will jump in, you play, they jump out randomly, and then your AI squad just comes back in. And
after you've proceeded to piss them off for not playing the game the right way.
Yeah, and Jonathan and I, we play right next to each other whenever we play Ghost Recon. It's great.
And then there'll be like a third person in our room, and we're like, who's that?
Yeah, somebody will, but that's if you play in matchmaking, somebody can just join in your game, whatever, and then if they don't have a microphone, then you can't talk to them, and it's really annoying. Yeah. But for us, you know, for us hunters who we're used to hunting, and we have people that we hunt with, right? it's so perfect because then we can just jump in and out of each other's game, without even going to a guild hall. We don't have to be prepared to go on hunts. We can just do it.
You can still do that as well.
Yeah.
You know, they say that'll still stay, but if you're like, when you're playing solo, you can just open up whenever you want.
Which is really great, because if you find that yourself in a bind, like, it's like, oh, crap, there's a Devil Joe here. Hunters! You know? Like, you don't have to have the angry pickle leap on you, and you'll be all by yourself.
Another great thing that they didn't show in the demo, but they showed during, like, the presentation that E3, is that you can change your weapons and armor during questing.
No, you cannot. Are you serious?
Yes.
What? That's so I can be a dual blader and a charge blade hunter at the same time.
Yes, you can be whatever.
What?
You want. Same thing goes with
I
your Pelico.
I
want
to be a dentist.
Really?
So you can change its armor and weapon as well.
So what's the deal with the Pelico then?
Still a stupid cat.
Pelico, same thing. They're still same. You're not gonna be able to play it from the looks of it, like in Cross, which is fine by me. But, you know, they'll be just, like, your little partners. Like
cool. So, did they say whether or not you can still customize the Pelico?
From the looks of it, yes.
Cool, because I need Angus. I need my Angus.
Damage is actually shown on in-game now, so whenever you hit a monster, it'll pop up a number and say you did this much damage.
Really?
Oh, good.
It won't show the health bar
good.
Of the monster.
Good.
That's still there, but now it'll show how much damage you're dealing, or how much damage, like, let's say you take the monster to a terrain that you can break. Like, oh, there's some rocks up here on top of this tree. Just break those rocks down on the monster, and it'll show you how much damage it did to it.
That works really well, because beforehand, you know, when it didn't show, I mean, and I was fine with it, because, again, we're all seasoned hunters, so, like, we know what we're doing. But when you first start out and you have just a normal weapon or nothing's upgraded yet, you don't know what that damage looks like.
There's a lack of feedback for new hunters.
Yeah, like when you're not used to it, the lack of feedback can be really daunting, and so, yeah. And it kind of results in hunts being longer than they need to be, Because you either think, hey, I'm doing a lot of damage to this guy, and then the hunt continues for the full, you know, 50 minutes. Or you're like, oh my gosh, I'm doing no damage, and you end up getting yourself killed because you want to, like, hit the monster as hard as possible.
There's also a lot of destructible terrain and environment that... So there's, like, a dam that you can break, which will bring down the river and can wash out down the monster away, or... You also, if you don't get out of the way fast enough.
Right.
And, you know, there are some areas that will also, like, only a monster can break, and then which will unlock a possible secret area which with possible rare ores and stuff like that.
Really?
So the whole environment itself is automatically loaded in. There's no more loading zones.
Woo!
So when you go to a different area, it's already there. You don't have to load for it. You don't have to wait for it. Which also works against you because you can't run away from that monster anymore.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't go into the next zone and take your healing potions and then run back into the zone.
There is a semi stealth system.
Uh huh.
So you can, like, hide from the monster if it's not enraged and if you get it far away from it enough. So, and there's also, like, different suits they can do that'll increase your camouflage. And then they also showed one in the demo where if you wear it, the monster will go for you. It'll, like, make you the main target rather than anyone else.
Oh, interesting. Man, I like this already. I'm so excited. This is awesome. Like, as being a Monster Hunter fan, like, it's even more exciting than just seeing it and being like, that looks like a cool game. Because this is, like, the upgrade to the game. Like, instead of getting the same game over and over and over again, this is the upgrade we've basically been looking for. So
they've actually called it Monster Hunter 5. This is what it is.
Really?
It's Monster Hunter 5.
Is it?
That's what they said during the demo. But they wanted to also bring in... They didn't want to discourage new players, so that's what they decided to go with the title Monster Hunter World.
Yeah. I think it's fitting because it really gives that sense of, oh, now there's a whole open world you can go in.
Yes. That's basically the whole meaning of the battle.
Yeah, and it's cool too because I make the same hunter every time I play Monster Hunter. So this will be cool because this will be the first time I get to see my hunter in high resolution.
What else did you see there, Gerard? Any other cool
premieres? Just so you know, nothing is more important than Monster Hunter. So did you see anything else that's cool?
Well, I want to talk about how psyched I am that Ubisoft is finally doing something cool again, and they brought back Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, one of the greatest games. If nobody has ever played Beyond Good and
Evil
before.
It was a very underrated game. Probably one of the most underrated games of all time.
Agreed. Probably besides Psychonauts. I think that one deserves a little bit more love, too. Beyond Good and Evil was seen by nobody, and it should have been seen by everybody.
Well, the problem was they released it at the exact same time as Prince of Persia and Splinter Cell, so it got buried by those two other games.
Which, isn't Splinter Cell Ubisoft?
Both of them are Ubisoft games.
Yeah.
Oh, Prince of Persia's Ubisoft? I didn't know that.
Ubisoft released too many games at the same time, and that's how Beyond Good and Evil was kind of burned.
Interesting.
But Beyond Good and Evil was one of the only games that I had played through more than once. The other one actually being Psychonauts. Those are my two major games. I've played multiple games more than once, by the way. But I am so beyond excited for the fact that they're finally doing something with it, because it was, like, what, 10 years ago that they released the first trailer for Beyond Good and Evil 2?
Yeah, and... Oh, yeah, that's right. They did have a trailer.
Yeah, it was them in the desert, because the first game was this luscious tropical water landscape, and then they released this teaser trailer, like, 10 years ago of the main character sitting in a desert. And you're like, what happened to everything? And you gotta know. And now they've released...
And Paige is evil. Remember Paige, the pig?
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
At the end of the game, he got infected by the virus.
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers.
Spoilers for anybody who the game came out, like, 15 years ago at this point.
Well, and the thing is it's really actually not that important. It's not.
Well, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is also going to be a prequel, too, so you're not going to know.
Oh, what the F? I hate prequels.
Wait, seriously?
Yep. I hate prequels. I really do.
takes place, I believe, 40 years before the events of the first.
Oh, so they've completely changed everything.
So then there's no Jade in the game?
Yeah, there's no Jade. Or
no Jade.
What? That's kind of lame.
So you gotta play
no,
as...
No pictures?
Maybe you play as Paige as a piglet.
Yeah, you might play as Paige. Well, Paige wouldn't be a piglet, because he's, like, old.
Yeah, he was old in the first game.
It better have the same kind of soundtrack. Like, how the soundtrack was probably one of the best game soundtracks ever.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least really catchy.
I'm just far beyond bummed out that they didn't show any new stuff for The Last of Us 2.
Yep.
That was the one thing that I wanted.
They're
going to
be saving that for PlayStation Experience, I'm betting. Because they wanted to focus on the new Uncharted game that's coming out.
Who watches that? Oh, yeah, and here's the other thing, too, is that I love Uncharted. Uncharted is actually one of my most favorite video game series of all time. And I'm just, like, not... I'll probably play it, but I'm not super thrilled about side story stuff. Like, in any storytelling aspect or video games whatsoever, just side stories are like, just give me the main story. And, like, Nathan Drake is, and especially Sully, like, Nathan Drake and Sully are the utmost best team-up that you can have in a video game. So if you're going to be having side characters who may or may not have been as well-developed as... you know, other characters, this will be their chance to develop them more, but we really want to see Nathan Drake and Sully. Okay, that's my opinion anyways.
Well, it's kind of like how some people feel about Sword Oratoria this season. They're happy that we're getting more Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon, but some people are disappointed that it's not more Belle and Hestia.
Yeah. I kind of agree. I mean, I like the characters. Like, I'm one of those people that I like the set of characters, so I enjoy Sword Oratoria. The story is really
Same
weak.
Here.
The story is really weak, though.
Yeah, the thing that's going to keep people around more for Sword Oratoria rather than the Uncharted thing, though, the Uncharted game, is that you're more likely to see naked chicks in Sword Oratoria than you are in Uncharted. So that's why Sword Oratoria is doing fine. And it's funny that I say all this because I'm pretty sure that I'm still going to buy it. I'm still going to get this Uncharted game because I love Uncharted so much that I'm still going to get it. I trust Naughty Dog to make a great story. So I feel like the adventure is going to be good no matter what. It's just that I've fallen in love with the characters of the original series. Like, Nathan Drake is a great adventure character.
I mean, from what I've seen from some of the presentations, it looks like it's going to be pretty fun.
Oh, no, it's going to be a fun game. Like, don't get me wrong. The gameplay fundamentals are going to be Uncharted, and it's going to be fun. It's just that, from my perspective, the story...
There's going to be no story progression.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it, too. There's no story progression because you're just playing as two side characters. One was in each Uncharted game that didn't really have a continuation.
Any last minute or last excitements about E3 there, Gerardo?
New Metroid game.
Oh, new Metroid. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like Metroid Prime. Sorry.
I'm hanging up now.
unpopular answer, I know.
Unsubscribed. Gerardo's no longer a fan.
Yeah, no. I tried the first Metroid Prime game and I was like, this is the last Metroid game I'm going to play. And it was. Although Zero Suit Samus is awesome.
It's weird because a lot of people didn't like it, but I actually preferred Metroid Other M over the Prime series.
Ooh, that's a first. That's the first that I heard.
What?
Yeah, I know. I'm shocked that I said it myself, but confession, dude. It's a confessional, man.
Then I guess it's time to move on to some what we're watching.
Okay.
I'll start. I'm completely caught up with Little Witch Academia.
Oh,
good.
And dude, it's so unbelievably amazing.
Yeah, I'm on episode 5.
I'm on episode Okay, so I'm up to 23. I haven't watched 24 yet if it's out yet, which I haven't been keeping track of. Man, is it amazing?
Is it?
It's so amazing. I can't believe how much Studio Trigger is just probably one of the best Japanese animation studios out there. Everything they do is good, and this series is seriously no exception. If not, like I said the last time, if not, it's the best out of everything that Studio Trigger has ever done. I think Little Witch Academia is the best still. Like, I mean, because, you know, Kill la Kill was great, Kiznaiver is great, but they really broke out. I mean, they broke out as Studio Trigger with Inferno Cop, which is amazing.
Season 2.
Yeah,
season 2.
Season 2. Season 2. Which that's awesome. But their first real chunk of animation was that first initial movie they made of Little Witch Academia. And it was, we were just in shock at how great it was.
You could tell that they put their hearts and souls into it.
And it still is. I still think that it's just, and Chariot is an awesome character. She's so adorable. Like all the flashbacks they show of Chariot, it's just so cute. And then Akko is like this hot mess of a character who is an amazing main character. And then all of our supporting characters are also really great. Like, they have tons of personality, and they just live and breathe in this world. It's great.
Yeah. It gives this really nice, smooth connection to the movies, I think, because all the characters interact with each other in the same way, even though they may or may not have met a little bit differently.
Yeah, and like I said, like, it was nice to see characters fleshed out from the movie. And after I watched episode 23... I went back and watched the movie, the first movie, and I really saw what was similar, like what was exactly the same and what was completely different. And I really think there was a really nice harmony between the movie and the series.
And it comes out at the end of this month on Netflix, first 13 episodes.
That's right.
Yep.
And the first 13 episodes are absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I think they're fun. Like I said, I've only seen 5 of them. Right now, and they're fun, but they're certainly, it's not a linear story yet. There's certainly like just this episode of the week adventure that they go on, which is fine.
Yeah, well, because they're establishing their environment.
Yeah, and the show, I think this is a show that fits that. It fits that category because, I mean, even the movies themselves were just that. You know, they were like this little chunk of time at this school for magic, and it works. So,
I also started watching another old anime called KO Beast, or KO Century Beast, which was based off of a game, I believe, in the 80s.
Is it about boxing?
It is not. It's about, like, these animal kingdoms that are, like humanoid animal kingdoms. So there's, like, mermaids and mammals and then flight. And then
so it's like the manlier version of Kimono Friends.
Yeah, kind of. and then there's the humans, and the humans are evil because they want to take over the world and take over all the power that these.
It's a furry's paradise,
and it's really cool because it's again that classic style of anime that it's my favorite era of anime where it's all hand drawn, character expressions are really really well fleshed out. They do some really nice animation tricks that really punch out the comedy, and if we have any Critical Role fans out there from Geek and Sundry, it has Sam Riegel as the main character and Liam O'Brien as one of the supporting characters, so that might be a point to go watch it. Yeah. I know it would be for Victoria.
Victoria is out there somewhere right now going, what?
Yeah, somebody said Critical Role.
Yeah.
So, I think that was the only other thing I had watched was those two. While I continue to watch Sword Art Online on the side.
I haven't watched anything new, but I started picking up volumes of My Hero Academia because I wanted to read the manga of it to see if it was any different, and it's not. It's actually a very try and true copy.
Adaption.
Adaption. Well, I mean, the manga came first, but the anime is a true adaption to the manga. And the art, Horikoshi. I think that Kohei Horikoshi's artwork is better in a sense to the anime, which it typically is for manga.
Yeah, usually the original art is always better.
His artistry is very good, but there's a lot of things in the anime that translate a lot better in animation.
Yeah.
So I have respect for both of these. However, I do have to say that Urarika in the manga is 100 times cuter than she is in the anime.
Yeah.
Like, she is just the best. She's so adorable to watch, and I have to protect that smile.
I just recently discovered in myself that picking up manga is probably one of the greatest things as far as... Because, you know, obviously I like to do the art thing, and I love illustrating, and I have my own comic books. I feel like holding the art in your hand rather than watching it on a computer screen is a lot more satisfying.
Well, you know what it is? It's because if you like something in anime, it passes by.
Yeah.
But in manga, you open up a book and you see something that you like and you can look at it and you can study it. You can see what they did. you know, you can take screenshots of your, like, which you do.
Which I do.
You can take screenshots like that.
I like to study the character expressions, the facial expressions.
But in manga, they're just sitting there in a moment in time for you that you can go back and look at whenever you want.
Yeah, which I do for, like, Black Lagoon. Like, I look through my Black Lagoon books for reference all the time.
I started watching My Hero Academia.
Good.
Which is something I've been meaning to do for a long time. And now that Anime Expo is creeping up, I decided to just start binging it.
Yes.
13 episodes into that.
Sweet.
Watching Uromanga Sensei.
Yes!
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, dude, do you love it? Because I love it. It's so good.
It. It's great.
Little sister.
You see, I love it, but then there's that part of me that's thinking, oh no, what if it's gonna go the Ori emo route? What if it's gonna go the Ori emo route? Please don't have the brother want to have sex with the sister. Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
You know, honestly, I think I'm desensitized to it because I'm just I watch the show and I'm just like, it's just cute, whatever. Like, and I don't care. The only thing that really threw me off was when they were like, oh yeah, Muramasa Sensei's in middle school. I was like, what?
Take a step back.
I feel stupid.
Yeah, like hold on one second. Like, wow, that threw me for a loop.
FBI is knocking at my door.
Yeah, because she is not a middle schooler. Like, the way she's drawn and the way she acts in the show is she's way older. There's no way. But I guess she's in middle school. So
somehow.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Gerardo. It's wicked cute, and I'm loving Eromanga. I'm loving it more now than I was at the beginning of the series, but now I love
it. Same here. Can I say too? Because like one of the characters on there, Elf Yamada, I initially hated that character, but I grew to make her like my pick for waifu of the spring season.
Yeah, she's great.
A great character.
I don't know. Sagari is really.
She is pretty cute, isn't she? I think Eromanga Sensei is definitely one of those like. How should I put it? We know you want more Ori emo, but we can't give you more Ori emo, so here's Eromanga Sensei. Kind of a thing.
So here's, instead of just two girls who are lollies.
It is a harem, you know, so that is nice.
Here are four girls that you see in strange predicaments that can make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
FYI, screw Megumi. I hate that character so much.
Which one?
Megumi, the one who's her.
The high school girl or the school girl. We don't know what grade.
Yeah,
she's
her classmate.
Yeah.
To school and talks about how much he loves penis.
I thought you.
Yeah.
Megumi from Konosuba.
Yeah.
That pissed me off too. You could call me Megumi. No.
Yeah.
You do not deserve that title, little girl.
There's only one Megumi, and she likes explosion magic. Do you like explosion magic? No, then fuck off.
Well, technically, the bookstore girl is probably one of the best girls in the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's great, too.
Yeah, because of her, you know, her reserved otaku-ness. Like, she's very much an otaku, and she loves light novels, but it's reserved enough that she's a normal human being.
Yeah.
You know, it's really nice, and especially when Megumin... disses light novels.
Yeah.
Like she calls them like smut novels, and then she just kind of just like, what did you say? This was this bitch crazy? Talk about smack her.
No, one better. Sagiri DePantses her.
That's right. That's pretty funny.
It was like, you kind of deserved it.
How about
one of those rare instances where I'm like, she kind of deserved that.
Apart from that, I've also been keeping up with Boruto and Little Witch Academia.
Good.
Nothing else new. It's just the new things is Eromanga Sensei.
Yeah.
Academia.
Cool. Those are some amazing choices. I've been loving Boruto. Boruto's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's. I like just how different it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Like how different. Yeah, I agree.
So recently, I got a press account for VRV, which now gives me access to watch English dubs of Funimation.
Okay.
So I figured I would go and revisit one of my favorite shows of the winter season, still probably my favorite anime of 2017, and watch the English dub of it, and that is Mr. Kobayashi's Dragon Maid.
Yes.
Oh, how is it?
You know, they really hit it out of the ballpark.
Oh.
They did an excellent job. I felt Leia Clark was great as Kobayashi. She really captured that attitude perfectly. Yeah. Toru, who plays her, Saren Weidenheft, she really captured the spunkiness of Toru and how excited she is about being a maid and how much in love she is with Kobayashi. Jad Saxton did a pretty, as good a job as you could with being cute as Kana, because when you listen to the English dub of Dragon Maid as Kana and the Japanese one, like, the Japanese one is still really, really way more adorable.
Superior.
Superior, yes, it's superior. But for an English dub, it's a great portrayal. Let me think. Lukoa, Jamie Marchi as Lukoa just is fabulous. She's just fantastic. She kind of has this California surfer girl sort of mentality, kind of laid back. But when you look at Lukoa, how she always smiles, has her eyes closed, she always seems like she's kind of a relaxing dragon. Almost said person.
Yeah,
this sounds pretty well casted.
Jamie Marchi is like the perfect choice for her, really. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of a newcomer, Rachel Glass is Elma. She did a really good job, too. And Garrett Storms is Fafnir. He really captures the broodiness of not really wanting to be in the human world, but yet starts getting into video like games and stuff.
Being in the human world is a guilty pleasure to Fafnir. So.
Yeah.
Now, how does he compare to Daisuke Ono?
Nothing compares to Daisuke Ono.
Yeah, because the thing is,
it's kind of like comparing the two voice actresses for Kana. You can't beat the original Japanese for both of those, because Daisuke Ono is like king. He's like the voice actor.
Yeah, I mean, Daisuke Ono is my favorite Japanese voice actor, male voice actor, that is. And he's just got that voice, man. Like, when you have to go up against him and try to be him, it doesn't seem like it would go well. So I was just like, how is Fafnir gonna be?
He's really good. He fits the character perfectly. Garrett Storms does a great job as Fafnir, but yeah, still does not compare to Daisuke Ono. Now, what I do also like about the English dub is it kind of takes some advantage with some retranslation stuff, maybe even boosting up like some of the humor in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Kobayashi introduces Toru for the first time to her coworker in the first episode. I forget what she says in the Japanese version, but the American English dub version is she goes, "It's my turn to take care of the special cousin this week." I feel like where I really like felt much better about a certain situation in Dragon Maid was in the English dub. Let me try to explain as well. So, you know, there's the infamous Twister scene in Dragon Maid.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
All right. So, you know, that whole scene happens, yeah, kind of verbatim from the Japanese to the English version. So, and then it cuts to the scene where the friend is like, what was she going to try to do? In the Japanese version, it cuts to Kana just looking out into the window. She's like mouthing something, and all you hear is, "I really wanted to." And that's all you hear from the Japanese version. In the English dub, it's, you know, the silent mouthing. What is she saying? And all you hear out of her mouth is dragon style.
Dragon style?
Dragon style. Like, it was one of those jokes that, like, you're horrified, but the horrifiedness turns into laughter. But yeah, all in all, I've watched all 13 episodes of the English dub. I thought they did a great job. I look forward to adding it to my collection whenever they release it on Blu-ray. There apparently is going to be a 14th episode that is going to be with the final volume in Japan, so hopefully we get that 14th episode as well.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
And right now, I am also going to start watching dubbed interviews with Monster Girls, and I've watched the first two episodes of that dubbed, and so far it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Uncensored?
Oh, yeah, it's uncensored. Well, interviews with... Well, oh, dude, you're getting interviews with Monster Girls and Monster Musume mixed up again.
Oh, you're right. I am.
Well, they're both monster.
I'm suddenly treading in very dark waters now.
Yeah.
And I should backtrack.
It's that one anime where it's the vampire girl who doesn't want people to know she's a vampire girl. Wait, that's the other monster that's girl.
Oh, wait, that's actually I Am. Which was also a really underrated show.
It was. There were some things I had issues with it, but I still think it's a pretty good series. Yeah. But Interviews with Monster Girls was just
amazing.
So far, watching the first two episodes dubbed, I feel like everybody did a really good job. I think maybe on the next episode of Wicked Anime, I can dive a little bit deep into giving more of a critique of the voice actors and actresses, because we haven't really been introduced to everybody just yet.
Yeah. Right. But okay, but as a service as a whole, how is Verve?
Very good. The only downside, and I noticed this so far with Dragon Maid and Monster Girls, is when you watch the ones shows dubbed, you know how, like, when you watch Crunchyroll, they have the things in the background, and all written Japanese, but they have the translations above and above. For some reason, those translations don't show up in the dubs.
Oh, the sign translations?
Yes, sign translations. So that's going to throw off some people, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I was just wondering how, like, the layout of the app is and how...
Oh, it's pretty good. Yeah. It's easy to search for things. It's easy to add things to your watch list. I would recommend it.
Cool.
As good as the Nosy app? Nobody gets that. That's Jerry Springer and Maury Povich and Steve Wilkos and all that trash TV.
how did you know that? Like, that's...
Because of work.
Well, I figured that.
I work at a warehouse, and the only thing to watch at lunchtime is Jerry Springer, so.
Yeah, Maury Povich.
Yeah, so they're like, download the Nosy app and get all your Nosy information.
That's literally how every single one of those hosts sounds. Like, you did an impression of Steve Wilkos, Jerry Springer, and Maury Povich.
Maury Povich is a little bit raspier. I was making a joke, and now we're analyzing it too far.
I'll give my thoughts on the dub people of Interviews with Monster Girls in the next episode. And I think after that, I'm going to watch dubbed Saga of Tanya the Evil.
Nice. Okay.
Now, Evan, you watched another anime that is going to transition us perfectly into our Topagotchi for today, which is anime that we should hate, but we can't help but keep going back to. Or anime that you don't necessarily like, but you still gotta watch it.
And this is more for, I gotta watch it because I have to review it. I'll just say it. Seven Mortal Sins is just fucking rubbish.
Okay,
myself watching it every week.
Is it rubbish?
But it's not even good rubbish. It's not even good rubbish. It's just, like, terrible.
So, is it... Where are we creeping into? Are we creeping into Testament of Sister New Devil, or are we creeping into Monster Musume territory? Where are we at?
I would say, I'm trying to think of the best. I'm thinking Queen's Blade territory.
Oh, I don't like that.
That was kind of going into my answer for this.
Here's the thing: like, when you're watching it on Crunchyroll, for some reason the Crunchyroll version has everything censored, so like half of the time, like, you're watching it, it's all blocked out because they can't show tits and ass. But that's not the reason why I don't like the show. The reason why is it takes something like classic literature like Paradise Lost and says, hey, let's add some softcore porn to it. That'll be great, right?
That's Japan. No. For you, that's Japan.
It is Japan, but Japan knows how to do it better.
Yeah, but they don't... I feel like that the reason why we keep getting stuff like this is because they don't believe that they can do better than that. They honestly think that they won't have a successful show unless there's TNA in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, they could do it, but with a much clever script. You brought up Monster Musume. That show had T and tail.
It knew what it was,
but they were like, wait, let's actually be funny. Let's actually be smart with the humor. Let's actually have these characters be filled with such personality. This show is just one big-titted lady, two big-titted lady, another big-titted lady, another big-titted lady. This one has mediocre tits. I know that all the characters are named after things that people call the devil, but I don't know which one is which. They're just big titted women all over the place.
I can't believe how many times you said tits in this
episode. Yeah, you said tit a lot.
Well, even I said
sorry.
It earlier. We are gentlemen. They are breasts, Evan.
Well, if it was a good show, I would call them breasts. But is it a good show? They don't deserve my gentlemanliness.
To give some preface to this Tapagotchi that we're going over today, as I said before, Wicked Fan Temsu has given us this topic to talk about, and his he wanted us to talk about anime you'd rather not watch but can't stay away from. His reasoning behind this is that it's almost been a year since Kiznaiver has come out, and back when it was coming out, he gave us an earful about how much he didn't like it. That's fine. Not everybody's going to like it. I do. I thought it was great. Something different from Trigger.
Until the ending. I didn't really like the ending.
But he didn't like it. But he finds himself going back to rewatch Kiznaiver. So he's assuming to himself that he's a glutton for punishment. For whatever reason. Or it could just be a good show and you need to accept it, Temsu. But I digress. So this is where this is coming from. We all keep watching shows that we think that is like, man, we should just end this now. And I have plenty of examples of that. I'm going to start. Evan had a great introduction into it, I think. But mine, personally, Eromanga Sensei.
Really?
There's part of me that says almost in that same sense that we were watching One Room last season.
I haven't gone back to One Room.
Yeah, but I'm still watching Eromanga Sensei, and it's given me that, wow, this is really perverted, and I don't think I should be watching this. But I do, specifically for the fact that, like, heck, it's really good story writing, you know? And, like, there's some stuff in this show that it pushes the perversion to its limits sometimes, like when they were playing the king game in the last episode, and I was like, oh, this is going to go into some really dark places, and you know, I would feel a lot more comfortable about this if they were all of age.
But that's because we're 27 and watching younger women. But if you have like a high schooler watching it, it's not as bad,
I guess. So, but I don't know.
Yeah, because it's... that's where it's really appealing to is the high school audience,
right? But I feel like that it can be appealing to everybody. Like,
I think it's interesting though that it's yet another one of those shows that's topical to Japan's current hobbies. How light novels are now exploding in Japan, and how everybody loves to read light novels, and how light novels are almost becoming more popular than manga, and that more light novels are getting more anime adaptions.
Yeah.
Just no more of the alternate world ones, for God's sake.
Did you hear about that? That the company...
We reported about it last week, I thought.
Yeah, they've banned it. That they, there was a, what's the name of the company? Kodokawa? Is it Kodokawa? Yeah, Kodokawa has actually banned any submissions of high school boy goes to fantasy world
which
stories.
Which is actually a perfect fit into this topic, how we keep watching the same shows over and over again. Like, even though we know that there are these shows, I've watched every single one that has done that high school kid goes into a fantasy alternate universe.
It's like we should be playing Call of Duty.
Pretty much.
Over and over and over again.
It's like we're getting fed the same thing.
Except made by different companies. At least it's not Activision pumping out the same.
Yeah.
Activision has like three different companies working on it.
I know. Yeah, pretty much. So they can produce more of it. Yay!
Which is kind of what Kodokawa is. Kodokawa is the publisher.
Gonna jump on that bandwagon.
And so Kodokawa... So now Kodokawa has said no more fantasy world crossovers. And there's so many of those stories that there's actually a Japanese title for it now. I forget what it is, but... The same way we have...
Annoying.
The same way that we have shonen, shoujo, whatever, like subgenres. That is a subgenre now of...
It's called Everything in This Genre Sucks Except for Konosuba and Outbreak Company.
No, because Gate was really good, and so was ReZero.
There are people who would disagree with us on that, though. There are a lot of people out there who really hated Gate.
I can see why, though.
Yeah, I can see why, too.
I like Gate. But,
because it was pretty much just, like, a propaganda film for saying, like, look how awesome the
army is.
The army, the Japanese army is.
You should enlist.
Japanese Defense Force.
You can be an otaku and bang elf girls.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. It worked. Did it? I don't know. I made that up.
I was kind of thinking along the lines for myself, Ikitosen. But not just like Ikitosen, any kind of
girl fighting,
girl action anime. Yeah. Where it's just like, yeah, there's one guy surrounded by girls, and the girls punch each other until their clothes explode.
I think that Ikitosen is the best example of that, because Sekirei had a great story.
Sekirei was above the rest.
Yeah.
I love Sekirei to death.
Master of Martial Hearts, that
is
one
was the worst.
No. But that one was only 6 episodes.
Yeah.
And you have to see the end of it. Like, you have to. It's just incredible.
But you just have to know that is the worst thing on the... And, but we couldn't stop watching it. Yeah. And that's just the thing. So.
However, Ikitosen can be fun. But yeah, but you can clearly watch that show and say, like, I don't really need to be watching this, but I'm going to finish it.
Well,
right. And it's kind of like with High School DxD. Like, I know it's a filthy show, but I like it. It's enjoyable, but I know in the back of my mind, I'm like, I shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any animes where it's like, where I think in my head, I shouldn't be watching this, and I watch it. Mm. I know there probably has been over time, but I don't know what they are.
Keijo was one for me recently.
Oh, yeah.
See, I stopped watching that because
I hated it. I think I have one episode left and I haven't watched it.
Show sucks.
But
boo. I liked it.
Get out.
Boo, yeah.
But I agree with you, Gerardo, because I watched Keijo at a very slow pace where it was just like, oh, I don't have anything else to watch right now. I guess I'm watching Keijo. Yeah, I don't know.
So you have finished all of Bible Black.
Me? No. No, I haven't.
Yeah, he's on his second watch through.
That is, Bible Black is nighttime activities, guys. Yeah. You don't watch that. You don't watch Bible Black during the day.
I don't want to think about that.
You don't watch Bible Black during the day.
You don't put it on while having a nice breakfast and coffee.
No, you sit in the pentagram, light 6 candles, and watch it.
And watch Bible Black.
In meditation position.
Jazus, Jazus.
Ugh. I mean, I just scrolled past Monster Musume, and I could say for sure that it's like, I didn't need to be watching this.
Yeah, but we just watched that straight through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, if we watched it straight through censored, and it's like, well, I guess the uncensored version's out now, so I gotta go back and rewatch it. So
I pre-ordered the special edition of
that. You lucky, lucky bastard. Gerardo, do you have any that...
Monster Hunter stories.
Yeah!
Oh my god, that is a good one. Because I did kind of stop watching it, but... I know it's a good show, but it's not for me.
Well, what do you think about it then?
I was so happy that we were getting a Monster Hunters anime altogether that I just thought no matter how bad this is, I'm gonna watch it.
Uh-huh.
I watched and I got through like 13 episodes, I think.
Same here. Actually, and that's where I stopped too.
And I was like, okay, I can't. I just can't. I just finished.
Did you notice that the opening theme of the show lasts for almost 2.5 minutes long every week?
Oh, yeah. I noticed.
I made it to episode 7. And so I stopped watching at episode 7, and I think that's because every time I watched it, I fell asleep. I think that's the problem that I had with it, was it just could not hold my interest, and I would always fall asleep watching Monster Hunter stories. The only one that I really, really loved, or really liked the idea of, was that there was actually a Monster Hunter in it. Like, there's a character that's a Monster Hunter, and came into the series, and actually did monster hunting stuff, but then the village that they live at is like, no, we like to ride the monsters, we don't hunt them. You know, so it's kind of weird, but even though I'm still super excited for the game to come out next fall.
Yeah.
Or this fall, I should say. Like, that's awesome. I'm totally going to play it because it has a cool world to live in and a cool world to play, but not a good one to watch. But it's just a kid show, you know, right?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I've watched plenty of kid shows that are still good. I remember, like, Tribe Cool Crew.
I like watching kid shows. Like, I love Bakugan. Yeah. Bakugan is great.
Hey, that's a good one for you.
Yeah.
Wake up on Saturday mornings and watch Bakugan.
I actually watched it every morning. It wasn't just Saturday mornings. It was every morning. Because I went to work. And so I would get up at 7 to go to work.
Yep.
It would be on at 7:30, I think. So I'd watch Beyblade first, and yeah. then I would watch Bakugan. Beyblade was terrible.
Beyblade was awful, but I watched the whole thing of that.
But I watched Beyblade so I could watch Bakugan. I watched Bakugan and I loved it. Should I have been watching it? No, it's a kid's show. It's stupid, but it was great. And it was made in the Canadian studio, so it was all those Canadian voice actors for like kid shows. But I've talked Bakugan to death on this show.
I had a student the other day ask me, "Mr. Fleming, have you watched Pokemon?" And I said, "Listen, let me tell you something about Pokemon."
Yeah.
I was here, Sunny Boy.
I was there when they invented it. Like I was there sitting in front of the TV the first day that it came out.
Yeah.
But Pokemon was new when I bought it. Like it was brand new.
Yeah. Don't forget to change your underwear, Ash, every single day. Okay, Mom.
Now that all the kids are gone, Professor Oak comes in.
Sneaking and go get the hot moms.
Woohoo! Those must be some interesting key parties.
We talked about shows a long time ago about our guilty pleasures. And in that, I talked about Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt. And I think that show is a part of this conversation for me too, because it was a show that's like, you know what, I really don't need to see every single episode of this, but I will. And I think that fits into this category here, because you can absolutely skip whatever episode of Panty and Stocking that you want and you'll still get the same experience as long as, you know, you see the last episode
or even specifically the last two episodes.
Right.
Because remember, it kind of ends on a cliffhanger, the second to last one?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Which we still haven't gotten to follow up to at all. So, there are specific key episodes that I think everybody should watch of Panty and Stocking. One being the first episode where they introduce Scanty and Knee Socks, because that episode is just animation gold. But then there's also the episode that nobody can skip, which is the one where Panty and Stocking are just being lazy at home and the entire episode is one camera angle of them sitting on a couch. And like, that episode is amazing. It is incredible. But, you know, you don't need to see them all, you know? But you do, and it's gross every time.
Especially the booger episode.
Yeah, especially the booger episode. That one is just
that's one that I actually can't watch. Like, I have to skip that episode every time I rewatch it.
There you go. So I think that
says a lot for me.
So I would love to hear what fans would have to say about other shows that they've been watching that is like, yeah, I definitely don't need to be watching this, but I'm definitely going to finish watching this. Because there's a lot of really good answers out there. And I think that there's, especially from Temsu himself, there's a lot of surprising answers. Like he's saying, oh, I can't believe I'm watching Kiznaiver again.
Yeah.
Which for me is a very surprising answer because I loved it. But for him, that's perfectly irrational. So I bet you that there are plenty of answers out there from fans that would give us the same exact reaction.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I am kind of feeling that way about Sword Art Toria right now, where it's just like, well, there's nothing else to watch. I guess I'm watching Sword Art Toria today.
Right.
You see, with me with Sword Art Toria, and I make mention of this in my review, is it takes a couple episodes to really get used to the vibe it has. Because it is totally different from the original Danmachi series.
Well, look, man. As long as Tiona, Tiona's in it, I'll watch it. I'm gold.
I love the scene where it's the murder. They're all at the scene of the murder. The guy's head is gone. And it's like, one of you women could have seduced her. You could have done it. You could have done it. You could have done it. And it goes to Tiona. Maybe not you.
Yay. Yay, flat-chested girl.
Flat as justice.
I don't think we have too much fan service.
I don't think we have any at all.
We kind of read it. So the Tapagotchi was fan service. Gerardo's here. So
what more could we have?
I don't think we got any emails over the past couple weeks, did we?
I got some fan service to the last episode you guys had, talking about the large world.
Live fan service.
Go right ahead.
There we go.
Go right ahead.
So, one that you guys kind of, I guess, didn't mention is the world of Naruto.
Okay.
And they, you know, when they show, in the first episode, they show the map of all the villages. But then there's still a whole area that's unmapped or unmarked. It's like, so literally, we know this world is a lot larger than just these couple of villages.
Yeah,
literally,
you're right.
No one lives there.
Yeah. What is that?
I bet you there's, like, American ninjas over there. And like,
American Ninja Warriors.
Yeah.
and
building their wall.
And Chris Farley.
Oh, yeah, and Chris Farley. Bunch of great white ninjas.
That's all I had.
Nice. Solid. I like it. Mike did tweet at us. Wicked fan Mike tweeted us that bootleg Pikachu. Actually, Gerardo, did you send this to me as well? The Chinese bootleg Pikachu charger.
Oh, the one that's the charger wall,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
You stick
its ears in the wall, but then you plug the plug into his butt.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah,
I don't think I sent it to you, but I saw it.
Yeah, Mike sent it to me, and somebody else sent it to me. I got it from two people. I forget who the other person was, but I have seen it, and I saw it from multiple fans, and I love it when multiple fans send me stuff, because that means that everybody's aware of it. It's just like, you have to talk
it's
about it.
It's important.
This.
Yeah,
it's important that everybody knows that there's a wall charger in China that you stick the plug into Pikachu's butt. Like,
oh my gosh. I don't even want to think about that.
It's so funny.
It's the Pikachu glory hole.
No. No. No.
If it farts, it explodes.
No, that's just the Note 7.
Yeah, plug your Note 7 into it, and it's like, oh, he farted.
Boom.
Uh-oh. Anyway.
There is a new thing that we have to tell all you fans about, so listen up, Gerardo. There is a new service. It is a podcast finder, like a discovery website called Podchaser. And
what?
Nerdy Show is one of the first networks to get a hold of this. I'm also going to put a link to this in the description, because it's in beta right now. So you need a beta access key in order to get onto it. And with Podchasers, it allows you to rate and review podcasts on there. And every podcast from the Nerdy Show Network is on here, including Wicked Anime. And if you go onto Podchaser, you need a beta key access, which there are two available from Nerdy Show right now. One, if you type in Nerdy Show, all lowercase, all one word, you can get on there. And then there's also another one, if that one doesn't work because that one's a limited amount, we also have another key that allows you to get on there. If it's just Nerdy, if you type in Nerdy, N-E-R-D-Y, all lowercase, you can access the Podchaser's website. And you can go on there, search your favorite podcast, and I also checked to see, too, the Geeks New England podcast is on there as well.
Oh, seriously?
And let's see, if I were to type in
Boston Bastard Brigade.
Am I there?
Let's find out.
Didn't
yep.
Even tell you.
If you type in Boston Bastard Brigade or B3, it is there.
Sweet!
Yo,
yay!
Hang on, wait, we're gonna click
yeah,
on
so we're
it.
Gonna click on
and
it.
And we're gonna give it a 5-star rating right now.
Yep, and then...
Thank
so
you.
Here we go. Oops, I accidentally clicked 1-star. And then let's...
Boo!
It, and then let's give it a review. The show sucks!
We didn't write that, but we did give it a 5-star review.
Yeah. and then The Legends of Aramis is also on there from Geeks New England.
Yep.
And I rated that as well. So, if you go on to Podchaser and use either Nerdy Show or Nerdy as your beta key access, you can get access to this entire library of everything that is out there in podcasts, and you can rate and review us.
It looks like the Wicked Anime Podcast, as of this recording, has 5 5-star reviews.
Yeah, it does, and it also has 1 review, and it is from FozEntertainment@gmail.com. He gave us a 5-star rating, and he said, "You love anime? You need this in your life. Best suggestions, best conversations, best everything anime." And it's all in caps, so I had to scream it. "They are the best. Boston Bastard Brigade and Wicked Anime combine into the best anime podcast ever."
Nice.
Thank you so much.
That is great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much.
So that's another new thing that we're trying. If you want to discover new podcasts or if you want to help out the ones that are already there, that's Podchaser.
It is weird that it says official website soundcloud.com.
Yeah, it doesn't go to Nerdy Show.
It doesn't go to Nerdy Show.
But what it does is it takes the podcast, it just pulls them right off and puts them right in there. So if we look up Wicked Anime, we can actually see all of our episodes as well.
Can
and
we really?
And you can listen to them right here on Podchaser.
What?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah. See? Look at this right there. You hit the
Holy
play.
Cow.
It might actually go to SoundCloud to play it. I don't know. But you can. But there's a play button that you can go right to there. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
That is one of many ways that you can support Wicked Anime and Nerdy Show by using Podchaser. But there's also other ways that you can do it, too.
Yes.
You can go to nerdyshow.com/support for all of the options, but other ones are patreon.com/nerdyshow, which if you give us even a dollar in backing per month, it gives you access to hours of content. If you go to the $10 tier, if you pay $10 a month, you get access to the Nerdy Show Lounge, which is an official lounge on Facebook that all the hosts and all the fans get together and just share all the news and information and fun stuff that they find on the web just to hang out, and you can pick our brains and everything like that. It's pretty cool. Another way to do it is by rating and reviewing us on iTunes. If you go there, give us a review, 5 stars, but we will read your review, even if it's not 5 stars, too. But I would really hope that you give us 5 stars, because that would mean that we're not doing our jobs and we would be sad.
But we would, we will read your reviews if they are poor.
Yep.
But we will not like them.
We won't like it, but we'll do it.
And you will say it in a very mocking voice, like, "This show was so terrible. Oh my God. 1 star.
Yeah. That's actually just a straight up good impression of me, anyways. But sounded just like me. But even for non-monetary reasons too, the best way to get people to know about the Nerdy Show Network is just by telling a friend. Like, seriously, tell somebody that you listen to Nerdy Show, or tell somebody, hey, you should be listening to Wicked Anime because their show is terrible. What? Tell somebody to listen to Nerdy Show, and then tell them to become a fan. And, that's the cheapest way to help us out, just by word of mouth. Andrew, what are other ways that they can find us? Time for some fast plugs.
If you guys would like to join in on the conversation that we had today, or if you would like to share your thoughts and express your feelings directly to us, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we post this podcast and our news, anything that we got going on, like conventions and other fun things that we see. And you can comment at us over there, and maybe we'll read your comment on the show. We don't know, but we do stuff. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find both our podcast and our video reviews, which, if you're not already listening to our podcast on there, we've already discussed, you can listen to it on SoundCloud and iTunes, /wickedanime. And hey, speaking of videos, you can find our videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, which is basically where Wicked Anime got its start. And if you want to keep an eye out for any new Wicked Anime videos that are in production or coming out, you can subscribe to us over at YouTube, because that's how we make some of our money. If you want to follow Wicked Anime anywhere else, we're on all the other social medias, like Twitter. You can tweet us at @YoWickedAnime, or you could find us on Tumblr, where we tumble things, at wickedanime.tumblr.com, and with sometimes, not super a lot, but hey, it's there. You can find us at Twitch. Maybe when Monster Hunter comes out, we'll be twitching all over our Twitch channel with Monster Hunter.
You'll be twitching from withdrawals.
Yeah, what? Actually, seeing that Tekken just came out, maybe I'll just stream some Tekken for the heck of it. Because I love me some that. Tekken.
And then, of course, at the end of the summer, we're going to have Senran Kagura.
That's right, we are going to have Senran Kagura. All right, but that is over at Twitch TV, and that's Wicked Anna Play. And of course, now we have Podchaser. Go give us a rating and review on Podchaser.
Yay.
That's pretty badass. Evan?
All right, so For the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter and the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistryinc. That's O-M-N-I-S-T-R-Y-I-N-C. Like us on Facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade and on Facebook.com/Land of Ash. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smash Rook, and Nerd Crave. And by the time this episode is aired, hopefully you will be able to hear an interview I do with one of the lead localizers over at XC Games, Ryan Graff, as we talk about Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash.
Awesome.
And there may be a written interview with the creator and director of the upcoming animated motion picture event, Mutterfuckers Run.
Mm-hmm. That's his name, Run. Don't actually run.
he don't speak English.
He does not. He's French. Cool.
Could have fooled me because he puts a lot of English stuff in his drawings. Within Dark Meat City.
Cool. Great.
Gerardo, where can they find you on the internet?
I guess you can find me at Tumblr at ruby-fan.tumblr.com. That's all I got.
That's right. Well, at least until you reboot your Let's Play channel.
Yeah, with a full-time job, that's kind of a little...
Yes, it is.
You're telling me.
Yeah, you're telling us. Same page. Woo!
That's on permanent hiatus until further notice.
That's, yeah.
Until you just suddenly make $1 billion and you can do whatever you want.
Win that Super Lotto.
That's right. And buy yourself tons of bottles of water. All right.
Buy the water. You could buy the ocean.
All right. Thank you so much, Gerardo, for joining us for this episode. It's been a blast as always. Thank you, Evan. Thank you, Jonathan, for hosting again. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for Andrew for continuing to speak. And thank you, listeners. And listeners, we will hear you. Will hear you.
No, we won't. You'll hear us.
You'll hear us on the next episode of Wicked Anime Podcast.
Isn't
now
that disappointing?
Yeah, and now it's time to sign off the only way we know how.
K-Bye!
That's pretty funny.
Hey, more flat-chested girls for me. That's all I'm saying.
They're not real, Andrew.
What?
They most certainly are.
They're not a fantasy character.
I was talking about the anime girls.
Oh.
I thought
you were
talking about flat-chested girls in general. Yeah, in general, no. They do not exist because we are American.
Wicked A! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.